Yo, yo, yo. What's up, Shayhan?
Hello, Craig.
We're back at it once again. Holy cow. It is Two Misfits and the Carpenter back at you. What's happening, man? How are you? How's the week?
It's been a very busy week. I'm going to turn off my phone. We have a gentleman, friend of mine that listens to our podcast, and he was having trouble linking up. But Sean Zelka, how's it going, Zelks? He's just got knee replacement, so that's why it dinged. He was like, where do I go on this?
I love it.
But
Love
yeah,
it.
it's been an interesting week. Pretty busy, lots of crazy stuff, and never a dull moment,
Oh boy.
baby.
Oh boy. I started this craze around here, this carnivore diet. I've just it's pool season's coming up. I'm getting old. I got the things it's amazing. It stuff doesn't quite it goes to the wrong places, and you
You
eat this
ain't, yeah,
fat.
you're just a youngin', man.
Jeez.
Just hold that thought.
So I usually do this stuff. I go like hardcore into something, cold turkey. But this one has been a little difficult the last few days. So if you folks notice, I'm a little brain dead out there today. I haven't had any carbohydrates in 3 days, and this diet consists of only meat.
That's it,
So
though,
that's
right?
it.
I
So it's
mean, no
crazy.
vegetables.
Zero vegetables, zero anything, zero alcohol, zero artificial, zero plants. The only thing in the carnivore diet is it has to be from an animal. So you can have
Eggs.
eggs, steak, that's basically
Cheese.
been. You can have cheese. I haven't done much cheese just with the lactose. A good friend of mine who's been doing this for a while transformed his life through this diet. He had some stomach issues, and it's amazing what your digestion system does when it doesn't have insulin spikes and it has to break down carbohydrates and glucose and everything else. But long story short, the diet is you eat two meals a day is all you eat, and they're both 16-ounce ribeyes with like three eggs on top.
Sounds
So you wake up in the
awesome.
morning, and I've been at 6 a.m. I'm at the barbecue on cooking this 16-ounce ribeye. It's kind of weird,
Little weird,
and then
yeah.
throw some eggs on it, and then another one at night. So I've been implementing a little bit of different things. I threw some bacon on this morning. I've never shopped for bacon in my whole life. It was weird. I was at the store and I just, it's all the things you're never supposed to eat. I also bought a big thing of butter, like animal made butter. I'm
Dude,
like,
we've been
bro.
lied to so much. Eat the butter, eat the
Yeah. So
steak.
basically what happens, folks, is if you're interested in this, hey, this is a nice little push for carnivore real quick, but your body goes into a ketosis state, which basically means that your body starts using fat for energy. Because you're giving it no other energy source whatsoever. So when you're not giving your body any sugars, any carbohydrates, your body
Any poison?
will flip, yeah. And but the hardest part for me is the wine. So I can't have any wine.
Yeah.
And I am a big wino for all you
Yes,
guys.
you
And I
are
just
kind of a
got my
connoisseur on that
yeah,
kind of
I
stuff.
just passed. I just got my results today on my level one sommelier. So I'm officially a wine
Oh,
dork.
okay. How's
Anyway,
Boonesbury? Where does that rank?
yeah, it's up there. It's
Mad
good.
Dog? Okay. Is that a
Enough
wine?
about Craig,
All right.
okay?
All right.
Let's get into some Jesus.
Yeah.
But
Yeah, let's get into the carpenter.
yeah, so we were talking a little bit about prayer. I heard a great lesson on it last week. Sean and I were talking about it, and it's something that we haven't really brought up a ton, but what is prayer? How in your life does it really work? Maybe the goods, bads, and some of the misconceptions we have about it. Maybe just tackling prayer a little bit today.
Yeah, you've heard some people described as prayer warriors, and I would say that my prayer life is weak. I mean, I'm not going to write a book on prayer. I'm not going to have, a series on prayer. But I have done a lot of looking into it because I think the biggest thing is what's keeping you from it. And I mean, that's what I ask myself, right? Well, what keeps you from a regular prayer life? And I think there's a lot of misconceptions out there of how we have to be able to even approach. And
Totally.
one of the things I was a guy, I can't remember who wrote it, but he said, really, God, your words to God is really God's words coming back to you. When you don't have the words for things, the spirit takes that groaning. God knows. He knows your heart. He knows what's happening. He knows why you're coming there. And I think we're afraid to approach God. And it's like, well, I'm not real happy with how things are going. I'm depressed. Or you can't even make sense of really what you're thinking sometimes, right?
Or you're in sin, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Or you're in sin or you're just, and so, well, I can't go to God.
Right.
There was a saying, if I can remember it now, is that something like, boy, I messed up. I better not. I don't want to talk to dad. And
right.
And it's like, I screwed up. I need my dad.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of the philosophy of prayer sometimes. Yeah. I didn't say that one, right?
But no, I totally know what you mean. But it is such a source for us that I don't think many of us tap into. I know I don't as much as I would like and need to, but it's such a powerful, powerful thing. And it's we have that tool, if you will, that weapon, if you will, to go into the world with, which Jesus used so much. And you think if Jesus is here and he's God in the flesh, what would he need to pray so much for to his God? But if we look at scripture, all through scripture, Jesus always was going out to prayer, resorting to a quiet place. He was always spending time with his Father to just get through what he had to get through. And obviously he had to get through more than us, but we have similar things in our life that I think it's so important to grasp hold of this thing called prayer. I mean, yeah, I think I've gone through phases, you know, phases of, once again, being in that performance mindset where I had to pray. So it was kind of like having to work out or having to eat. It was very just, it was something I did more out of obligation than I really did to spend time with my Abba, mm-hmm. with my Father. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that we can get so wrong is that, you know, it was very calculated and very just, okay, I gotta pray today. Well, why? Got to, because if I don't, then I'm not going to be close to God. Oh, and then it's like, well, I need to go pray, or you know, why? It's, well, because I need something. You know, it's funny how it usually boils down to we pray when we really need something. And people that aren't Christian, you'll notice, or they'll notice, you'll notice looking back at your life. I mean, the only time we really prayed, right, is when something bad happened. You mm-hmm. get that bad phone call, something happened. Oh my gosh. Please, God, please, please, please. You know, we immediately revert to, you know. But I think for me, I've noticed the best is when I'm just in reverence of God and in thanks to God for all that's been given. And when we in that kind of prayer, it seems more life-changing to me.
Mm-hmm. You know, what's interesting is one of the things that I'm trying to do a little bit to have a better understanding of God's attitude with prayer is read the Psalms. And because there is a wide variety of prayers that David, you know, mainly David, the psalmist, was throwing out there. Some was, you know, why are you doing this to me? Why, you know, haven't I done this? Mm-hmm. Others are like praising him. Others are like, please keep me safe. But I think that's something that if you're struggling in prayer, I'm going to start doing that more, is looking at the Psalms, just reading a psalm as a prayer. I think a lot of times what prevents us from prayer is how we think God views us. And a lot of it is just projection on how we view ourselves. And it prevents us from doing that. So, and sometimes we feel silly, I think, is that we're going to God. It's like, man, he knows everything. What am I going to tell him that he doesn't already know?
Sure.
And, you know, what's the use? And it's like, I hate the comparison of an earthly father with a father, but I have a father, and if I did not talk to him, and the only reason I talk to him is to get closer.
What kind of relationship would you have?
Well, not only that, but the father's love. If I haven't talked to my kids, because they're busy, they're running, doing their stuff, it's not damaged. Okay, it's just right. That when they do come to me with whatever it may be, yeah. I'm here. Come,
totally.
You know, and it's, I think what happens is we think we have to say a certain thing. And yes, the Lord gave us directives, you know, pray like this. But that includes a wide variety of things when you look at what he has.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I pray a lot of times, there's things I said, Lord, you know my heart. I'm not, you know, but your will be done on this.
That's just it.
But it's something that's bothering me. And I know as a loving father, because I'm in Christ, he is burdened with that for me because I'm his child.
Totally.
So I think we need to have a proper perspective of our Heavenly Father so that we can go with him. He can handle us kind of crying out or, you know, I mean, I know a lot of guys, I mean, you take a look at David, he's just like throwing it all out there, for verses and verses.
Yeah, and you made a great point on when we come to God, like so often we think about it more as just a, you know, a verse that we need to say, or we need to reiterate a certain prayer, or we need to say a Hail Mary or an Our Father or whatever the case is. And it's really void of the relationship. And like you mentioned with your son or daughter, what kind of relationship would you have if they didn't open up to you, if they didn't really speak what was going on, if they just came to you every single day and said, Sean, you know, please help me and let me rest tonight and amen. I mean, you're not going to have a relationship. We need to have that openness with God where we really, you know, get vulnerable and get open. And it was funny. I mean, I was born and raised a Catholic. And so when I prayed, even when I was, since I was just a little tiny kid, I had the exact same prayer. And I felt the only way that God would hear me as, you know, a 5, 6, 7, 8 year old was, and it was crazy. I prayed. This is the only way I went to sleep at night. But I would pray it over and over and over and over and over again, like, you know, time and time and time again, until I thought that somehow, some way it pierced heaven,
right,
and he heard it. Mm-hmm. But it was repetitiveness. And then going to Catholic church, you do something wrong, well, you know, you got to do six Hail Marys, mm-hmm, and 5 Our Fathers, and then you're forgiven. So it was always repetitiveness. And it was the idea of somehow, some way, you know, getting this prayer to God, and then God saying, well, you did it enough, Sean. You did it enough, Craig, so now you're good to go. And it's crazy. Like, when I became a Christian, I'll never forget, big, like, 275-pound black guy was in my church, the church that I started going to. And just we became really close friends, super awesome guy. Greg Graham was his name. Yo, Greg, if you're listening out there, shout out to you. But he asked me just randomly he said, Craig, it's like the first time we met, let's go pray. And I said, oh, okay. And we stopped the car. We were in the car together. We stopped the car and jumped out, and we just started walking. And this dude said, you want to start or you want me to start? And I said, yeah, go ahead. Start. And so he just started letting it out. I mean, just, Lord, and then he just, everything that was going on in his life, please help me with this, please help my new friend Craig, please. I mean, we were going through, and thank you, God, for everything. And I was looking over there, and he probably prayed for 15 minutes as we just walked. We got done, and he says, go ahead. And I looked, amen, at him. I said, thank you, Lord, for everything. Amen. You know, and it was so funny. Like, he kind of looked over at me and I looked over at him, and I'd never seen anybody pray like that. I was just passionate about the relationship with God. And it's funny now, 20 years later, 25 years later, that's the way that I am. I'll take people praying, and I let it out because it's who I am now. I want to be close to God. God, I'm not holding any punches back. I want to be real with you. You already know what's going on in my heart, but I'm going to be real with you what's going on. And so many times I'll say to the person next to me, you want to go? And they'll go, thank you, Lord, for everything. Amen. And it's funny because we're so foreign with the idea that, does he really want me to talk to him like that? Does he really want me to really open up? Does he really want me to do this? I didn't think that's the way it is. And guess what, folks? That's the way it is. Not to say my prayer life is the way you, but you need to be open and get real with God on these occasions.
Yeah, I really think the words are less and the order things are than the pure emotion of, well, let's face it, do you feel safe with God? I mean, because that really is where it comes down to. If God, if our Heavenly Father is the safe place for us, we're going to be open. We're going to go over and we're going to praise more. We're going to cry out more. We're going to question more. And you know what? God can handle every single one of those things.
Amen.
And I just, he doesn't want this roteness of, he wants his child. And he wants you to throw all your burdens on him and all your craziness. And sometimes they're rants. Okay, they're just where you're ranting to your Holy Father. Is he safe to you or isn't he Christian? Because if he's safe, that is a place you can go that you know you are loved, you are not condemned, and he wants you to bring that to him because there's healing there. There's
totally.
Peace there.
And he, God really broke down every barrier, especially in that Jewish time frame, especially to the disciples, to the people that were, they were not at all used to having a God that was like Jesus, that was like God. And when God broke down the barrier of Abba, you know, of really of God being our daddy, of God being our papa, of God really being that intimacy of not some faraway person, but Abba. Mm-hmm. And for us, I mean, that should break down those barriers in our lives to know that God, it's not this authoritative figure. It's not this, you know, this guy with the beard in the clouds that's ready to strike you down. Like, this is your daddy. This is your papa. This is
so, your heavenly father.
Yeah, and that relationship that you have with him doesn't have to be a stern prayer of, you know, just our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That was from Jesus giving us direct directions on how to pray, not what to pray. That's not what to pray. That's how to pray. Right. And we can use so many things out of that to learn on how to pray. And so for me in my life, I guess the practical, if I'm getting real with God and vulnerable with God and I'm spending time in his word, but just talking to him about the things going on in my life, everything changes, Sean. Like, really it does. Like that intimacy, that power, that connection. And it's not just about gimme, gimme, gimme. It's really just about getting in the presence of God and hearing what God has to say. And I'm not, I mean, the distractions of life, trust me. I mean, most of the time they push out my prayer life. Mm-hmm. But when I do finally get back in the swing of it, it's amazing how that connection is just there instantaneously. Mm-hmm. And it's like, wow, why don't I do this all the time?
Yeah. Well, and I think all the things that you're saying, I think you're spot on. I think also in our American evangelical church, you know, they always temper this and say, well, you know, he's not your buddy. You know, he is your judge and those things. Well, not anymore. He isn't. Okay. I'm in Christ. Okay. So I have a problem. Because I think it actually prevents, that type of theology of glory prevents us from coming to God because it derives that. And I think it's a poor way of looking at the Bible and having every spiritual blessing in Jesus. I got a story for you, though.
Well, let's hear it.
Brennan Manning, who I love.
Right, me too.
He told a story. And I'll do the best I can on this. He was living in New Orleans. That's the last part of his life. That's where he lived. And this lady came, knocked on his door. He's like, can I help you? And she goes, are you Brennan Manning? And he's like, yes. I need a favor. My dad's dying. And I've asked our pastor to come over and speak with him on numerous occasions. And for one reason or another, he's not coming. Would you, I know we don't know each other, would you come over? He says, let me get my Bible. So he went over there. She says, he's in that room. So he said, I knocked on the door. And he said, yeah, come in. I walked in. I explained who I was. She goes, oh, yeah. He goes, yeah, yeah. My daughter said you might be coming over. And he said, I noticed he was in bed, and next to me, the bed, not a nightstand, but a chair, was sitting there. So I kind of looked at the chair, and I said, I kind of started to point at it, and he goes, oh, yeah, that. Close the door. So he went in. He goes, I have a friend of mine that I was talking to, and I told him that the biggest problem I have is prayer. I don't pray. I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to approach it. I don't know what to say. I was really struggling, and my friend just started laughing. He says, you know what? He says, I had that too. He says, here's what you do. Sit down and put a chair right across from you and imagine that the Lord Jesus right there. What would you say to him? And talk to him like you're talking to me right now. And go over everything that happened that day. Here's what happened in here. I don't understand why. Just like we're talking and picturing him right there. So, he says, I have the chair here. And I talk to my Lord. And I picture him in this chair. Now, I got to be kind of careful. Because if my daughter walks in and I'm talking to an empty chair, I'm going to go in the loony bin. So they were talking about this. And he said, Brennan said, I had communion, so forth, with him. Told him it was nice meeting him. Prayed with him. And left. About 10 days later, I had a knock on the door again. And it was the daughter. And I said, hi, how are you? And she goes, I just want to thank you so much for coming over. He talked about that for quite a while. He passed last night. I just thought it was fitting that I should let you know. So I'm really sorry to hear that. Yes, he went peacefully. You made a big impression with him. And I said that he made a big impression on me. And she goes, but one thing. I don't know. It was very strange. She goes, when I came in, he had passed. And the next morning, he passed sometime during the middle of the night. I opened the door. And his body and head was on the chair, leaning on the chair. And she goes, do you know what that could mean? And I thought it was really interesting as he's going home that he put his head in his lap of his Almighty God who was going to take him home, who was resting on his way. So I think, when we look at prayer, and I struggle with it, but I have to remind myself of that story. I have to remind myself that he's safe. I'm in a safe place in Christ to be able to talk to my Father.
Amen. You did a great job. That is, I remember reading that one, and it is such an impactful, so impactful. I think our interpretation, I know mine, of trying to somehow, some way repeat a prayer over and over and over and over again to get into my God's graces. I remember doing it so often, and I know so many people have done that in their life and might still. I mean, my mother, when I talk to her, even though we have conversations about Jesus constantly, she's all about the Hail Mary, which is great. That's her thing. But she's like, I did 5 Hail Marys for you today. And I'm like, awesome, Mom. Thanks. But to her, again, how she was raised was that if I'm really needing something a lot, then I need to do more of these. And maybe today I'll just do 1 or 2. And that relationship, for a lot of people growing up, just wasn't really there of getting really vulnerable with God and really crying out. Or if you're not crying out, in excitement. And in so much just happiness about what's going on in your life. Is that the first thing that happens? And how does it work for you? And I think it's not so much, again, of that repetitiveness. To me, I'll never forget Big Greg Graham taking me out for my first prayer walk. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't believe the things that were coming out of his mouth, because he was being vulnerable about everything going on, struggles that he was having and why it was happening. It sounded like a psalm. He was crying out to God. And then for him to look at me and say, all right, go, kid. It was like, I don't know. I can't talk about all the things going on in my life, especially not in front of you. I'm not in front of anybody. Yeah. I mean, that And it was such a neat time for me. And I started practicing it. Next thing you know, I was going on prayer walks with friends, and that became a big part of my life and still is today. You know, so it's just, I think, an interpretation of we got to get back in this practice, and we can't even scratch the surface in a 30-minute time frame of the importance of prayer and how intricate this is. But we do know that if we're going to model Christ's life, this was something that he did so often to get the power and to get the strength and to do everything that he did all the time.
It also gives you insight to your Heavenly Father when you're communing with him. So everything is for our benefit. It just is. Everything is that. And prayer is the communication. That is the relationship that we have, that we can go boldly to our Lord, because there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. So re-examine how you think God views you in Christ. And I think that helps us with our prayer life.
Totally. And like Sean said, if it is a struggle for you, maybe do jump into bringing a chair out and imagining God, imagining Jesus in that chair, and just have a conversation with that guy.
Yeah.
And maybe that could lead to some.
And read Psalms. Just start Psalm 1 and read a psalm a day that kind of gets you into. It really is amazing. I've started to do that. Chad Bird recommended that. So I have started looking a little bit on those. And because I want to do better. I want to be able to be better at that, because it's for my benefit with my Heavenly Father.
Amen. I think so often, too, it's about, it's so hard to pray. So hard to pray. But I think it's less to do about what we want and more about God's will for our life. And I know for myself with prayer, especially, it's always so often about, Craig, and about, God, please do this, or help me with this, or let me get through this, or let this happen in my life, instead of it really being a surrender to God, what is your will? I know what I want, but please help me to be in line with what you want. And it's that one's my biggest struggle. Because, man,
everybody's biggest struggle. Yeah,
my one is, keep kicking you.
I know.
For sure, it's a scary one. It's a scary one because, again, we have what we're focusing on, comes to all these things in life, whether it's your relationship, whether it's your business, whether it's your everything going on. And when we pray, a lot of times it's like, God, please, let this happen, and it's not really, God's will. Like, that's a hard one. Like, okay, let your will happen.
I do think he wants to hear. He desires to give us the kingdom, right?
Yeah, the desires of our heart.
Yes. So it's like, well, tell me. I know what's on your heart here. Mm-hmm. Don't come with me all this false mask bull crap. Come to me, and guess what? The Spirit's going to work with you and say, Lord, but at the end, not my will, but yours.
Yeah. And that's such a great point, too. I can't tell you how many times I prayed even last week. I remember doing this. Like, God knows everything that's going on in me. But I'll try to massage it. Like, God, I really want,
I'm going to manipulate you, God,
will,
here.
Your will, God. But
love you, man.
Please don't go that way. Don't go that way. Don't go that way. Please. Like, it's just, he's got to crack up on this stuff because you're trying to be in this righteous moment. Like,
but God, how about even being honest with him? It's like, I'm trying to manipulate here. And it's, how absurd, Lord.
Yeah.
I mean, we need to be able to understand that our Heavenly Father is for us. He does not condemn you. So be open with your thoughts. Be open with your heart. Be open with your desires and your failures and your wins.
Amen.
Because he loves you.
Hallelujah. Well, we'll do another one on prayer another time for sure, because that one, again, didn't get wild and crazy into it. But, hey, hopefully we encouraged you to spend more time in prayer, if nothing else, and encouraged us in the same way, because Lord knows we both need it.
Yeah, I need to. I need to get a chair. Now I gotta go to Walmart or something.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. Well, thanks, you guys. Have an amazing week, and we'll catch you on the flip side.
Sounds good. You are loved. Peace.